כאילו האורך נהיה זה היה בשפע שאתם יוצאים לכל because for me to stand up here and speak to you guys is like final examinations on something that like I'm nervous, I'm shaking in front of my rebbein. Never done this before. Maybe I have only once or twice before, but thank you guys for having me and listening to me and coming to whatever I have to say. I'm a Talmud. I'm not. You can call me whatever you like. You know, Rabbi Karpus they put on there. I'm a Talmud. I'm one of you guys. I'm an Avreich. I'm part of you guys. You know, I look around and I'm like blown away by what I see over here. It's incredible, Shalom Aleichem, and it's phenomenal. It makes me jealous. It really, really, really makes me jealous. How I wish and I yearn and I pray and I daven how I could please God one day, Mr. Shem, Mashiach should come soon, I can come back and I can just start with everybody over here and join this powerful, powerful group. I don't even have to hear you speak. I don't even have to hear you speak because I can just look around and I can see how phenomenal this group of people is. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. So that's my little introduction. Since I got on the bus to come to Ramat Beit Shemesh this morning, and I don't have that much time to speak, but I've been here for 3 weeks. I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm on a fellowships, Jerusalem fellowships, for a group of young students, boys and girls, to Eretz Yisrael. And since I phoned Rabbi Sher in the beginning and told him, I'm here, I want to try and make a time, whatever it is, I've been thinking, what am I going to speak about? What will I speak about? The opportunity to speak, what I should speak about. Until I got on the bus this morning, I still didn't know. I wasn't sure, like, what am I going to speak about? I don't know. What can I say? What can I say to you guys? I should be sitting there listening, you can tell me your stories. I don't know. I wasn't sure what to speak about. So then, I remembered a shiur which I heard from Rav Shimshon Pinchas, that's all, on a tape. And he called it, and I'm not really calling what I'm speaking about this because I want to put, and also when I say anything in the share that I heard, again, I'm going to be putting a little bit of my own stuff into it, so I'm not quoting Rav Shimshon Pinchas, that's all, except some of it, just some of the ideas that came from there that I want to speak about. It was a share that he called it, what is the definition of a Jew? And I know here in the yeshiva, Rav Asher is very into Pirkei Machshavos, Rav Tavis thing, or his book on Emunah B'Tachon, which I think it says on there, what is a Jew? I think it says on the cover, it says, what is a Jew? Or, Yama Yehudi, what, you know. So, and that book is very dear to me. I learned it with Rav Asher, and since then I've learned it many times over again with students, I've taught it to students, and it's like, it's a depth, and I think he was very connected with Rav Shimshon Pinchas. Might be a slightly different approach, they have different approaches and whatever it is, but pretty much the same thing. And when he spoke in the shiur, he first said, the first thing you have to know before you can define what a Jew is, you have to first define what is a human being. What is a human? And the way he said it, it's actually beautiful, he called it humanness. He said, what is humanness? I don't know what that word is, I've never heard that before, but that's what he went in the shiur, he called it, what is humanness? What is a human being? Before you can understand what is a Jew, you've got to understand what is a human being. And there's a Gemara that he brought, I'm not sure in his name, I can't tell you where it is exactly, but there's a Gemara that he brought, he said, a famous Gemara of Rav Yeshua ben Hananel, where the Roman king came to Rav Yeshua ben Hananel and said to him, show me God. He said, I can't show you God. He said, show me God. He said, I can't show you God. He said, come please, I insist, show me God. So he said, come outside with me. He took him outside. And he said, look at the sun. Can you stare at the sun? And he looked at the sun and he said, no, you can't look at the sun because the sun is too bright. So he said, well, the sun is one of Hashem's avadim, one of the smallest avadim. You can't even look at the sun. So how am I supposed to? How can I show you God? And he goes on to explain that he can prove God. You know, Eish HaTorah, I work for Eish HaTorah. Eish HaTorah is very into proofs of God and discovery seminars and trying to prove God. And this, for me, what he said was phenomenal because he said he can prove God in 5 minutes. And since I heard it, I've used this on my students that I teach all the time. I use it all, and then I say, I can prove God to you in 5 minutes, because I feel it's absolutely brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant proof of God. He says he can prove to you in 5 minutes. But he says, before I can prove to you God, you've got to understand one thing. There's certain instruments. The instruments which a person uses in order to prove things to people, and you've got to have the right instruments. If someone comes to me and tells me, can you show me God? Like in the Gemara that I brought, right? Can you show me God? I can't show you God. If you look at the sun, I can't show you God. You can't see God like that. You can't see God. There's different instruments which you use. For example, if you come into this room and your glasses are all blurred up or misted up or whatever it is, and you say to me, please, will you prove to me there's a table in the room? I say to you, give me your glasses. You give me glasses. I wipe them out, they're clean, put them on. I say, yeah, table. Shh, prove the table. There's a table over there, right? There's a table on the... Ah, amazing. What did I use? An instrument called sight. I can show you that there's a table, an instrument called sight. So then he goes and he says, what about sound waves? Can you prove to me sound waves? So I say, can you see sound waves? You can't see sound waves. I've been listening to Gerald Schroeder a little bit. He tells you how things are programmed into sound waves. It's a phenomenal. You know, there's like 10,000 sound waves going through this room at this moment, right? Sorry, cell phone calls, telephone calls. There's probably 10,000 going through this room at the moment, right? And why aren't our phones ringing? Maybe because they're on silent. But I'm not 100% sure. But maybe off. But even if they were on and not on silent, still they probably wouldn't be ringing. And that's because inside these waves, it's incredible what's programmed in the wave, that it only connects when it finds the one number, that it only connects to that number. But there's 10,000 of these things. So how do we prove sound waves? So the guy comes in, I can't wipe his glasses and say, look, there's sound waves, because you can't see it. So you say, you know, give me your cell phone. You phone someone. You say, say hello. He says, hello. Hi, it's Yaakov. Oh, wow, I thought you were in America. No, I'm in America. Wow, I can hear you on the other side of the world. It's amazing. Sound waves. I proved to you sound waves. That's how you prove. So the tool over there is hearing. I'll give you one more example. And that is, if you tell me, can you prove to me pain? So pain you can't see and you can't hear. Right? Love, hate, feeling pain. I say, okay, I'll prove to you pain. Give me your hand. I'll take your pin. And I'll prick you with a pin. And I'll prick you. And you go, ah! What? Amazing. There's pain. That's how I prove to you pain. So those are the instruments. This is now once I'm going to teach you an instrument, a new instrument, which is called humanness. I'm going to teach you what the definition of a human is. Once you know what the definition of a human is, then I can prove to you God in 5 minutes. In less than 5 minutes. I think he does it in less than 5 minutes. So it goes like this. Naturally, inside a human being, by nature, a human being is honest. Honesty. By nature, even the biggest liar in the world has an appreciation for what honesty is. No animal in the world understands honesty. An animal will do what it has to do. It will do what it will instinctually do what it has to do. But it doesn't have appreciation for reality, for honesty, right? Even the greatest liar, when he's lying, knows he's lying. He understands. He knows he's doing something wrong. There's something deep going in. There's some problem. He says, if you go, I mean, I'm from South Africa, so I'll say, if you go into Alexandra Township to one of the big gang members, I don't know what you would be doing there, but if you were walking through Alexandra Township and you were looking for James Street, and you went to one of these big, gangsters who he was okay, he wasn't going to hurt you, he didn't feel like hurting you at the time or whatever, and you go to him and say, sorry, can you tell me where's James Street? And he says to you, yeah, you know, just turn left, turn right, jump one, you know, that's the South African James, so much, you know. And you go, you walk the way that he tells you, and there, lo and behold, there you got James Street, right? Normally he's lying, he's telling the truth. Why did he tell the truth? Because he has no other reason not to. He has an appreciation for truth. Deep down, if there's no alternative reasons why not to tell the truth, a person will tell the truth. Naturally, a human being is naturally looking for reality, what's truth. And so basically, now we go on to the next thing I want to speak about, and that is the categories of creation in the world. And the first one, obviously, is domain, which is, inanimate objects, wood, stones, rocks, these types of things, right? And then tomeach, which is plant life. I'm sure you've heard these things before. And Chaya, which is animals. And then a human being is called Medaber. A Medaber, which is basically to speak. When a person speaks. So what does it mean to speak? It means to speak, to connect. Speaking means connecting. Having a relationship, right? Speaking with someone. Here we are, we're talking in the room. People, I don't even know, I'm speaking. I feel just, you know, sometimes you don't even need speaking. I don't know. I walked in here and I feel like I've got a connection anyway without speaking. So maybe there's an in-between Chaya and Medaber. I don't know. So Medaber, to speak, to connect. To connect. And to connect to what? To connect to reality. To connect to Hashem. So you're already here. Let me prove to you. Let's go into the proof. Here comes the 5-minute proof, right? The 5-minute proof. I actually jumped ahead, but let me give you the proof. Okay. So once we know that a human being naturally is honest and wants to know truth, and that's the tool, that's the thing we're going to use over here to prove God in the next 2 minutes. And so then all you need to do is you just need to basically look at a person's eye. Look at a person's eye. There are 40 million billion cells in one person's eye. It focuses, it's got automatic focus, it takes a video, it's back and forth, it works for 120 years without charging it over and over again. Right? And we've got two of them, and cockroaches have got it, and ants have got it, and animals have got it, and whatever it is. Right? There's no human being in the world, right? You come with the greatest, biggest camera, the best camera in the world, can't come close to what an eye is. Right? So if a person's honest, right? If a person's honest, that's all you need. That's it. I just proved to you God. That's it. There's a God. Right? I know you proved to you guys God, because you know there's a God. But I'm just showing you for an example, as an example, that if you just look at, if you're just honest, right? There were a few others I actually heard that at the Asia Torah Dinner in South Africa. Lori Platnick, she's a big international speaker for Asia Torah. She came to the dinner, and she, cutting a long story short, she had donated a kidney. She donated one of her kidneys. And she explained over there a phenomenal concept that in the hospitals, they have a thing called a dialysis machine, which can help do what a kidney can do, about 20% of what a kidney can do. And it's about the size of this room. Right? And so today's technology can make a machine that can do about 20% of what a kidney can do. And it's the size of this room. And you have to keep coming. And if you don't get a new kidney, you're going to die. You're going to die, basically, because it's not going to work. It works for a little bit. You've got to get a new kidney. Why? Because there's nothing like a kidney. No human being can make a kidney. So you look at a kidney, there's God. That's it, right? If you're honest with yourself, there's a God in the world. That's it. So that's his way of proving it. I thought it was brilliant when I read it. That's what makes a human being. What makes a human being is that a human being wants to connect to reality. Natural connection to reality. And how we do that is through speaking. None of this is what a Jew is. I'll tell you in the end, just... if you're thinking, where's Shlomo going with this thing? You know, where am I going with this thing? In the end, I'm gonna connect what I'm saying to what I do a little bit in South Africa and why I chose to speak a little bit on the subject, even though you're people who believe in Jews and you believe in God. But I want to show you that right. What I've defined now is humanness. Humanness is honesty, connection to Hashem. Right? Even non-Jews can daven, tefillah, right? Tehillim Elokim, Hashem made us in the image of God. That's all human beings, all mankind, right? Through tefillah, even a non-Jew can pray and talk to Hashem and have a connection to Hashem. That there's a God, God is reality. There's a reality and connection to Hashem. So that's a human being. So what about a Jew? What about a Jew? What's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? And this is an infinite amount of difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, right? A Jew is also human, by the way. A Jew is also human, right? And now sometimes we don't want to say that, because in reality, the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, right, is like a difference between a rock and a elephant, or whatever, a mouse and an elephant, right? Okay, let's say a mouse and an elephant. This is a mouse and an elephant, right? A mouse is also an animal, and so is an elephant an animal, but they're vastly different. So a Jew is also a human being. A Jew is also a human being. But compared to a non-Jew, it's totally and completely different. And what is the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? The difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is basically, there's two types of relationships, big categories. Obviously within each of these relationships, you can break them down into smaller subcategories and whatever it is. But there are two main categories that I want to say that there's connection to Hashem. One is friend. And another one is, the two categories is friend and family. Friend and family, right? By friend, if you've got a friend, right, good friend, someone that you really love, that you connected with, right, your best friend, your chavrusas for many years, and he's now getting married, and you happen to be, right, you should all be blessed, right, you happen to be a multi-millionaire, you're worth $100 million, and it's time for him to get married. So you go to his wedding, and you want to get him a nice present, you want to get him a nice gift, you know, you've got the money, you want to get him a nice gift. So you go, you get him something worth $1,000, you give him a $1,000 gift. Wow, that's any chasna, any guy who's getting married gets a gift from one person for $1,000, be very, very happy, right? Even let's say he was so close to you, you really wanted to do something special for him or whatever it was, right? You said, you know, you gave him a gift, you came to the chasna and you gave him keys. And the keys had a little note that said, you go to this, you know, this apartment, I bought you an apartment. I've got enough money. I bought you an apartment for you. You know, you can go learn in Kolo. I'll look after you. You know, whatever, you know. Go do whatever you want. I bought you something. So that's friend, right? That's like the best of friends. A person can say, you know, that's what he's going to do. Right? That's for that. But what about family, right? That I would say, that I'm describing like in the highest level, maybe we could be the highest level, let's say, a righteous non-Jew could reach on the level with Hashem. It's like best friends, you know, kind of like that kind of a level. But a Jew is different. A Jew falls into the category of family, and there's different levels of family. There's family like my Abba, my Tati in heaven, my Avinu Malkeinu, right? That's one level of family. Another level of family, which is also our relationship with Hashem, and that's husband and wife. Husband and wife, we're the wife and he's the husband, right? But either one, if you go even in any of those two relationships, right, within the family, you'll see that if his son is getting married, right, his son's going to get married, he's a multi-millionaire, right, the son's not going to have to worry for the rest of his life. He's not just getting an apartment and a little bit of a nice big present from someone, whatever it is. He's not going to worry for the rest of his life. He's going to give him whatever he needs, right, whatever he needs. If, God forbid, he would get sick or something like that, he had, you know, he would be, the father would be willing to give up his entire empire to save his child from, if it came to that, cancer or any, God forbid, any, you know, any disease or whatever it is, right? His best friend, if his best friend had cancer or whatever, maybe he'll try and go and do some fundraising for him, he'll give something, he'll try and say, hey, let's make a partnership, let's get... But for his own son, it's not like that. For his own son, he'll go, become poor, give it all up. For his own wife, he'll give it all up, right? Let's go a little bit touch on the wife relationship with Hashem. The wife relationship with Hashem is like this. This I heard Rav Shimshon Pinchas say this. That's all. And he said that, there's the balabos, no, there's the boss, and the, I think it's the balabosta, right? We the color, the Jewish people, we the color. Hashem is the cotton, and we the color. We are the color, right? What happens to the color? Anyone who's married in this room, I don't know how many, some are married, some are not married, right? Anyone who's married, everyone knows, right? If someone comes to the door of your apartment and your wife's at home, and they knock on the door and they come and they say, hey, can I have some sugar or can I have something, you know? She says, of course, she's going to go and give it. She doesn't have to phone you up and ask, you know, can we give away the sugar or whatever it is, right? Anyone knows that if there's something that's needed, right, what do you give your wife, if you can, obviously, whatever, you give her the credit card. She's in control of the money. You're making the money, she's in control of the money, right? The balabos, I heard not from Shimshon Pinchas, but the balabos is a kind of play on the thing is that I'm the boss, and my wife, she's the balabos. She's the owner of the boss. She's the owner of the boss. She's really the boss. Right? She's really the boss. And we the Jewish people, we are the balabosta. That's the sort of Shimshon Pinchas says is our thought, right? We the balabosta, we are the wife, right? Hashem loves us so much that whatever we want, He's going to give us more than anything in the whole world. That connection of love, that's greater than any non-Jew could ever reach in his wildest dreams, unless he becomes a Jew, right? He doesn't have that. This is family. Hashem is my husband. Hashem is my father. I'm connected to him. He loves me. I love him. I have a relationship bigger than anyone in the whole world. I'm the balabasta. I'm the one who, I'm in control of this thing, right? It's a big thing to say. I'm not the one who's saying it. I think it's like a huge thing to say, but it drives home the point. Okay, and I want to, in the next, how much do we, I have 5 more minutes? 10? On my watch, I know it's a little bit fast. Or whatever, so. Huh? 7 minutes? Okay, good. So that little thing that I want to say, I mean, I heard that this was like a whole hour share that he gave, and he gave many more examples and whatever it was, on what it is. But you hear the point. The point is, what a Jew is so special, is so connected. We're so connected to reality, to what's real, bigger than anyone else in the world, and it's an incredible privilege, and it's also a huge responsibility. It's also an incredible responsibility, right? We're chosen by the Creator of the universe, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be His color. We're the one who's chosen. We are the chosen people. We're chosen by Him. And no one else, which means, right, He chose us and no one else. They might be His friend, but we are His wife, and no one else is that. And no one else has that kind of relationship, right? And everyone knows that a husband-wife relationship comes with a huge responsibility. You've got kids. You have to bring your kids up. You have all the different things. You have to make the parnasa. You have to show love. You have to have shalom bayis. All these different things, right? And unfortunately, in the world that we're living in, and if I had more time, I'd tell you some maybe scary things. Maybe you don't want to hear some of the scary things that are going on out there in the world today. That I've seen over the last 4 years that I've been, I was at Or Avraham. I learned here for 3 years, and I learned with Rabbi Asher for 3 years before that as well, when Rabbi Asher used to be at Eishet Torah, Rabbi Sipa, and Rabbi Wolitsky, and so I've been with them for a long time before I left. Rabbi Jacobson, my Rebbe also. And when I left here, thank God, the Rebbeim of Or Avraham built me up, gave me the tools to go out and do what I do out there today. And it's based on what I've told you today about what it is to be a Jew. Because 90% of the Jews in the world today don't know what it means to be Jewish. They don't know what I've just told you. They don't know. They don't know what it means to be Jewish. They don't know the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. In actual fact, they're trying to be non-Jews. That's what they're trying to be. They're trying to be non-Jews because they don't know. They're ignorant. They really, really don't know, right? And I want to tell you one thing. I want to tell you one small thing. That when I went to I did a course called Nela Elif, which is a Kiruv training course. While I was at Or Avraham, I was doing that on the side, straight to Kiruv. And the first shir that I went to at Nela Elif, there was a guy stood up. I don't remember what his name was, but he stood up and he said to me, I can't get this feeling out of my mind. I just go back, I just think about it, and I have this incredibly, like, I start shaking, thinking about what he said. And he said, what do you think? He asked the question, he said, what do you think when you see another Jew being Mechalel Shabbos? What do you think when you see another Jew being Mechalel Shabbos? And he said, if you think, and he started crying, by the way, at this point, this rabbi was standing up there, he started crying, and that's what made it so powerful. He started crying, he said, if you think, ah, shame, poor guy, poor Jew, he doesn't know, he's ignorant, he doesn't know, he's Mechalel Shabbos, right? Shame, poor guy, right? He said, you got it all wrong. And he was screaming, he was like, if you think that, you got it wrong, are you crazy? No way, that's not it. If you see another Jew Mechalel Shabbos, he said, you Mechalel Shabbos, you are Mechalel Shabbos. You see another Jew Mechalel Shabbos, you are Mechalel Shabbos. Because Kol Yehudim, Israel, Arabim, Zerizeh, everyone's connected, right? My Shabbos is not complete if there's another Jew out there being Mechalel Shabbos. We're one unit. We're the chosen people. We're the wife of Hashem, right? Wife of Hashem, and we're not in such a great state at the moment out there in the world. And that, thank God, since the first day that I ever set foot in Eishet Torah and I decided to start learning in Yeshiva, I'm about Shiva. I was Makariv by Rabbi Shur and Rabbi Willis back in South Africa, and now I work for Rabbi Willis. since then I've always had this thing, you know, the Jewish people, they what's happening to them, you know, what's happening out there? And that's what I'm doing. If you want to know what I'm doing out there in South Africa, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to simply, as many people as that I can tell what it means to be a Jew, that they can hear what I have to say, that I can prove to them God in 5 minutes, like I did, you know, over here. Some of them take it, some of them don't take it. Thank God this last trip that we just had now, has been, I've brought, I think since I've been in South Africa, I've come to Eretz Yisrael with groups 6 times. And thank God I'm zoche to bring my whole family with every time, bring my family with. I stay in the Roba, in the old city, you know, during the old city for 3 weeks, every time that I come. it's really a big school, you know. I'm not a multi-millionaire, I'm not worth $100 million, and I couldn't be able to afford it even if I tried, right? Thank God that, you know, comes with the perks of doing what I'm doing. And this particular trip that we just had now, that we're coming to the end of, there were only 34 students. Last year we took over 100 students, the year before there was over 100 students. This year we brought 34 students, and the quality of the students that we brought this year is like totally different to what I've done in the past. It's been an amazing, amazing, inspiring trip that I've been at. Thank God, I think that with these 35 students that we're going to go back with, I'm going to have my work cut out for me for the rest of the year just with these kids. And it's been amazing. It's been an amazing journey. I'm still on the journey. And that's what I'm doing. I'm learning in the morning. I'm learning at Grossman's Escola, where I've shared. I learned for a number of years. I'm learning there in the morning. That's like a Kochim Kola. We're learning Kochim all the time. Last year we were learning Bechoris. This year we're going to be starting Tamura. And I'm learning there until like 8 to 11 in the morning. Then we start at 11 at Aish. I'm teaching at night. I'm doing one-on-ones with people. And I'm organizing Israel trips. And speaking with people, that's, and having Shabbos, my wife's incredible, you know, making Shabbos. I have 20 or 30 people per meal on Shabbos, every single Shabbos, you know, every Shabbos. You know, young kids who don't know about what it means to be a Jew. And that's what we're trying to do, you know, we're trying to teach them what it means to be a Jew. I have 4 kids, Leon Hora, 2 were born in Israel, 2 in South Africa, and they know a little bit about me. And yeah, that's what I'm doing. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity for me to come give you the shoes and speak to you a little bit about what I'm doing. And you guys should be, I'll give you a brocha, everyone of you actually should have a brocha, right? As long as you can be in this place, don't leave, man. As long as you can be here, right? I'm telling you, in reality, I'm not joking, I'm 100%, and yeah, all these things that I'm doing, in reality, everything that you're doing in this yeshiva, right, is doing 150 billion times more, even more. I can't even say how big the word is, right? I mean, how much more times than anything that I'm trying to do hands-on out there, right? You are the guys who give me the koyach and the strength to be able to do anything that I'm doing. And in reality, if anything happens out there, it's really because you're doing what you're doing over here. And so what you're doing over here is phenomenal. I think it's amazing. I walked in here, I was shaking inside. You didn't necessarily see it on the outside, but I was shaking inside. Just the feeling and the chabura that you got here is phenomenal. Right, Rabbi Asher's doing it. It's incredible. I take my hat off. Yeah, it's really phenomenal. Thank you very, very much for hearing me speak. You should continue only strength and brocha and aslacha. You should only have the fundraising should be good and should be able to cover the bills and whatever other brocha you want. It's in my heart. I give it to you and you can have it. So.